And this is the eighth lecture of the 22nd American ACC, 5 Jan AD 11. Now, I've got to talk to you very fast and furiously here about clearing technology. We've already covered methods of handling a PT problem, but I already have evidence that you're not getting the PC's PT problem. PCs are not leveling with you yet. They're not talking to you yet. And therefore, you're going to be jockeying around between pre-session 37 and PT problems probably for some time. And if you sit down now for a long haul of just doing Dianetic problems and think you've got it made, you've got another think coming. After you've got one of these things, let's get on pre-session 37 again, huh? Okay? And if you run into heavy PT problems, the PC has not bothered to communicate to you previously. Why, you handle it the way I said, huh? Dianetically. Handle a PT problem dianetically, you got it made. If you accidentally find out what the PC's PT problem is. Now, we've done a lot of covering of a dianetic approach of knocking out a PT problem with a meter, mostly consisting of, he says, I have a headache. You say, who had a headache? Because he can't have a headache, actually. It must be a valence. And then you date it, find out who it was and when it was and what his overt was against those people, and you'll get a fold-up of the headache. That's all very simple, and it's a fast way of handling it. But how long do you usually spend on a present-time problem in a 2.5-hour session? How long would you expect to spend on one? 15 minutes, half an hour, something like that? You'd hope that that would be the most, wouldn't you? Well, then keep it at that. And don't you dare go running the whole case on the grounds of a PT problem. You hear me now? I want you out of this class with your case stable and on its way. And it's not going to get stable and on its way by deleting PT problems from you. Got it? I'm serious. Get hot on that. Get so you're clever and fast. One, get the PC to actually tell you what his PT problem is by voicing his goals. And two, knock it out on the meter in a hurry. In a hurry. Now. Not Fifth London. Got it? 75 hours later, you're still there running, wondering why this fellow has sinusitis. Because you found this incident. You found it. And you've run it through, and you've run it through several times. Actually, it's about 1,000 years long, and so on. And you keep running it, and the command is perfectly good. It's what about the incident? Wouldn't the principal area of the instructor resist? And so forth. And it just doesn't seem to run somehow or another. Well, I can assure you it has nothing to do with the case. You have just bought yourself a great big fish box of red herrings that haven't been on ice for a long time. Now, separate in your mind old dianetic running and punching a case to pieces and knocking it out in a hurry with a PT problem. It is faster to run a PT problem with dianetic approach on a meter than it is a problem of comparable magnitude. You hear me? Well, how long does it take to run a problem of comparable magnitude on a problem? Well, it's going to take less. You got it? Now, I was startled to find that the PCs are not necessarily telling you their problems. See, I know most of your PT problems, and I can tell you right now you're mainly being kidded. But after you've taken away two or three of even the problems you're being kidded about, why, it'll be fine. But after you've knocked off a PT problem, get it into pre-session 37, and let's get those overt withholds off of the case, huh? Because the more withholds you get off the case, the more freely the PC is going to talk to you, and he may even get up to telling you what his present time problem is. Until that time, I wouldn't waste too much time on it. I'd give it a light brush and promise I'd take what he came up with, and I'd spot it, and I'd knock it out, and so forth, and get on with the session. I would fool him in a 2.5-hour session. I wouldn't spend any time on it. I'd get right in there, right after it, right on down the line there. I'd get free session 37 going. Because he's going to say, my God, it'll kill me, and they'll kill me, the whole class. I can just see the whole class jumping out of their chairs and rushing over and stabbing me with E-meters. If they really find out what I've been doing. So if I just produce a few present time problems here, I can keep the auditor busy enough, and I won't have to come out with it. Am I making sense? All right. So after you knock out the PT problem, you get right in there with pre-session 37 and get the show on the road, okay? And between knocking out the goals the PC has for getting audited and getting the withholds off the case, you're going to get somebody in shape so that he can get audited. What do you know? Now, you've gotten the goals of the case to some degree on your assessment sheet that you did on the case. But I'm afraid that in many cases this didn't tell you the whole story, so you had better do a little more assessing here and there. First place, the PC sometimes doesn't know what's wrong with him. This is true, too, that the PC often comes up with the fact that he is terribly worried about his left ear because it itches, when as a matter of fact, he walks around on crutches, only he never tells you about that. That comes into view later. What do you know? He says, there is somewhat of a problem here. I walk around on crutches. Well, you might or might not be able to get him on his feet, but you'll sure stop him worrying about it a bit. And now, we will consider that we have taken care of the Dianetic approach to the goal, the present time problem, and pre-session 37. I could give you one more comment on pre-session 37, and I will. I will. It is the big withholds that stop the case, not the little ones. The big ones. You don't have to strip this case down and pull it entirely to pieces and try to run the whole case from beginning to end with pre-session 37. Pre-session 37 is rigged to start a case, not to run one. Okay? You don't need any system or formula to run it. You just get the big withholds off. The withhold that you get off, however, is what the PC considers a withhold, not what you consider socially reprehensible. Okay? When you get those off, the PC is willing to talk to you. Sometimes if you just get half of them off, all of a sudden the PC is willing to talk to you. It starts leveling with you. You get the idea? Then you get the rest of them. See? He'll give you little ones at first to test you and then find out whether or not the rest of the students are talking about it out in the vestibule. It's okay. They probably are. Of course, here you're fortunate. You're up against sheer quantity. I can see any two of you in this 22nd American ACC trying to discuss or tell each other what your PC's withholds are. You just keep interrupting each other. Neither one of you hears anything. Now let's get on to something. If you've learned that, we'll get on to something now that we'll have to consider very important, because now we're getting up into clearing. A fellow just walked up to me a couple of moments ago and said that I better get him clear in this one, because in 1955 I'd said something or other. He didn't realize that he just opened his case up and laid it on the platter. What he needs is Formula 15. Formula 15. These consecutive numbers have very little to do with all this, by the way. You run them as in the order I tell you to, not in the order they're numbered, because the numbers are in order of a development. Right? Now, the general clearing routine runs as follows. Pre-session 15, pre-session 13, find the fellow's havingness process, test his control while running that havingness process. Find his confront process, run them just long enough to stabilize them, an hour or two, the two, the havingness and the confront. And then do an assessment on a terminal, a dynamic type assessment on a terminal to determine the help terminal for the PC. And then run help OW on it for a little while, same terminal, then shift to two-way help on it for a while, and then shift over to five-way help on that terminal while running Regimen 3. The bulk of the time in a Regimen 3 process is, of course, spent on the help terminal. Now, the havingness process is read on the needle. The confront process is read on the tone arm. The assessment of the help terminal is read on the meter. But the running of the help terminal is not read on the meter. It is run against time, not against meter. Although you keep checking him, particularly the havingness and the confront when you run it, okay? Now, that is in the form of Regimen 3. In other words, you've got three names here which are quite interesting and which you should pay some attention to so that you know what they mean. And when is it pre-session? Now, factually, this Dianetic approach should be pre-session 38, which is the whole ready lot, because it's a pre-session 2. You just say, well, we start a session now. Let's see what's your present time problem. What's your real goal here that would add up to it? Oh, that's a present time problem. We get that. I, who, when, you see, run it down, flip the incident out, and so forth. Call it a pre-session just so you won't get lost. We're giving a Dianetic process a Scientology number, so don't get lost there either. Okay. A pre-session is run just by saying, we're auditing, bud. And we're not auditing. Total delicacy of approach. Now, you don't start a model session in order to do pre-session 37. You don't start a model session to do pre-session 37. You just don't. You just say, well, we've started the session. And you start it. But when you get to a formula, you are running by model session, by the script. And you've got to have that down much, much better than you ever learned the Ten Commandments. Because people's lives depend on the model session script, and it was just the revenue of the church that depended on the Ten Commandments. Now let's be real about this. We want this pre-session run without script. Well, boy, that sure doesn't mean we don't do a model session without script. It is perfect. A model session must be perfect. If anybody gets out of this unit without being able to do a perfect session from beginning to end, I'm going to ask them to turn in their thetan. Hear me now. Quite important. The script is important. You're so used to having the auditing command exact that you don't notice that the script has got to be exact. So get that down, get that pat. And the first place that you use this script is in the formulas. Now, the reason it's called a formula is also very interesting. It's just a formula to get a case started. That's all. That's what it's for, but it's run in a model session form. It's to get a case started. I repeat that. To get a case started. When you say you're using a formula, you mean you are using a model session type activity which has a couple of gimmicks, just two, in it, which are being used alternately to get the case started. Scientology's goal in auditing is to increase the reality and ability of the person, not to take things off his track and delete them, not to make nothing out of him. And you will find that this reality starts increasing, and havingness starts increasing, at the level of pre-session 37. It starts increasing. But it's when you get into these formulas that you really see a case cracking. You really see it on its way. These formulas are good. But they are very, very precisely run. Extremely precisely run. I hate to have to tell you how precisely run they are, they are, they are. Now we are in to the extreme precision of clearing. Now you understand that all you would do here is, oh, you'd make the case feel better. You'd do 100 times as much for him as a medico could do, 10,000 billion times as much as a psychiatrist could do, on up through the pre-sessions. But when you get to a formula, you're really auditing. You're in there improving the reality. Now, running an engram doesn't necessarily improve anybody's reality. But running a formula certainly does. All right. Our best approach to this is to realize that just as precise as we run the model session, so do we follow the pattern of a formula. Now, there are several formulas. There are several because some cases have to be undercut. They're almost all the same breed of cat. They are a havingness and a confront process. A havingness and a confront process. The havingness process is OW, overt withhold, and the confront process is failed help or some version thereof. You got that? So a formula actually only has two processes in it, no matter how it is run. Therefore, we can't call it a regimen, because a regimen has three processes in it. Also, the regimen is a long haul, and the formula is a relatively short haul. The formula takes as long as it takes. There's some of you going to try to run the formula from here to the end of the course, I'm sure. But you will, after a little while, get into a no-gain condition. No gain. The guy, well, he says he's feeling bad. He's all right. He's still interested in the thing and so on. But he's interested mainly in cleaning up his entire familial difficulty by running Formula 13. And he sort of set this as a goal for himself and so on. And this is real gorgeous. And undoubtedly something like this could occur. And he'll take the edge of it off. But a formula prepares the PC to be audited by a regiment. That's all it's there for. It's not to run the whole case. Make somebody feel good, and everything's fine, increases his reality, increases his ability, and does real well. And for the first time, really, he cuts the underpinnings off the case. But it's sure precisely run. Now, of course, I don't write these HCOBs just to plague the mimeograph operator in HCO offices. Nor do I write them carelessly.
In HCOB, November 10th, 1960, is how you do Formula 13. Who have you failed to help? What have you failed to help? Alternated. Now, you got a list of people the PC knows in present time. That's a requisite to this formula. When do you take that? That will be a crucial question, I'm sure, that your instructors will be asked. Well, at some degree, you've already taken it in the case assessment. You've got some people in the case assessment. Maybe the PC didn't mention any people to you in the case assessment. But it'll do until you start expanding the list. And when you start expanding the list, of course, it will be when the PC's memory broadens. The more failed help you get off a case, and the more overts you get off of a case, the better the case's memory is, so they remember people in present time that they also know, such as mother and father, and cases that are hitherto and heretofore been omitted. Now, Formula 13, HCOB, November 10th, shorthanded in HCOB, December 1, is all the same breed of cat. But you'll find there's just a little tiny bit scrap more data, supplemental, in the HCOB, December 1. Just slight supplemental. It's because auditors ask questions about it, and so it's a little more precisely. If there's an argument here, it's the Formula 13, December 1st. Now, how you run this thing? It's run in model session form, Formula 13 is. Run 10 minutes or so of who, what failed help. This is who have you failed to help, what have you failed to help. You find an awful lot of cases break up on this. They've been running who have you failed to help, who have you failed to help, and all of a sudden you're in there with a what have you failed to help. You think? They say, what have I failed to help? Nothing. What have I failed to help? That's a funny question. How could you possibly ever help anything that is a what? There's nothing wrong with me on that subject. I'm perfectly clear. They're below zero. Now, you make a list of everyone the PC knows in PT. There's everyone. Everyone you can think of. All right, so, you've got a long list. You've already got part of that list in your case assessment. It'll expand. Now, you do an assessment. A lot of questions gets asked at this point. You assess from the list until the needle drops. That's the needle of the E-meter, of course. And drop is the same as the word fall, F-A-L-L, which you'll see on your dial. You don't run people who make the needle rise. A rising needle means the PC can't confront him, bud. You'll find people he knows he causes needle rises, but we won't pay any attention to those people at the moment. We're improving this fellow's confrontingness. So we just read down the list, you know? We don't go yak, 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 father, see? We just say father, you know? Father, mother, whatever the list says. Uncle, sister, wife, brother, child, instructor, you know. And we just keep going on this list until we get a fall. It goes, boom. We say, that's it. And model session form, we just cut right into that terminal, and we run OW on that terminal until an E-meter doesn't drop. Now, you can expect the E-meter to drop more before it starts dropping less, ordinarily. But it won't take too long for this thing to come up to something that looks vaguely like a null. We don't care if it isn't null on this character at this time. You understand? Well, we've got the major drop off of this thing. We've taken the kick out of it, in other words. And then we are going to bridge, and we're going straight on back to who, what, failed, help. And we're going to run that for 10 minutes. And then we are going to bridge. And we're not going to clear the auditing command painfully each time we do this either. All mechanisms for slowing down auditing are verboten in this class. Just remember that. Including phony PTP, so you don't have to get off your overts. Now, look here. Nobody would do that. Nobody but that fellow that told me in 1955 I ruined him. What'd he do to me in 1955 would be the auditing question. Now, you just go down this list again. Now, if you want to, you can simply read the list the same vector direction every time from top to bottom until you get a drop. But don't be too amazed now if you get a drop on the second name, whereas the first time you got no drop on the second name at all. You had to read 7 names before you got a drop, but this time you read 2 names and you get a drop. Got it? That'd be perfectly all right if you did that, so we needn't get too fancy about it. But factually, just to be tricky and to make sure I get them all, because you never get to the end of the list otherwise, I'll generally start one at the top and read it down, or would start one at the top and read it down until I got a fall. And the next time I did an assessment, probably start at the bottom and read up. Clever, huh? And take the fall there. And then the next time I assessed, but you do this every time, I'd start in the middle and read down. And then the next time I'd start in the middle and read up. And then I'd cover the whole list again from the top. You got the idea? Now, when you take the drop off the needle, there is nothing said in here at all about scratching the name off the list. That is not here. You just read that name again. And what do you know? After you've audited this PC for 5 or 6 hours on Formula 13, you took the drop off very early in the run on Father. And you're reading down the list saying, Father, well, that's a dead one, you know. I mean, Father, and so on. Father, and the thing falls off the pin. That's because you've kept kicking this whole bank all the time with failed help, you understand? And failed help is like about 10,000 jackhammers all working simultaneously on a bank, but they do it without any noise at all. His OWs on Father, you could spot that this is going to happen by this fact. His OWs on Father are first run this way. Well, I misplaced his tobacco pouch once. And I didn't tell him that I had gotten a low grade in algebra. And I thought he was awfully tall once. And I didn't tell him so. See? Well, you finally get the kick off of the thing in this fashion, but don't be surprised if your tone arm starts going up. Tone arm goes up, so what? You're going to get down sooner or later. Father is one of these practically unconfrontable characters, and the kick made him more unconfrontable somehow or another. And this isn't so good, and he starts up, and bad show. You see, those are all thought level, below effort. They're all figure thinks on the note of mystery scale, you see. There weren't any overts. They weren't overts. You say, well, he never really had much to do with his father, obviously, you know. Don't be amazed if later in Formula 13 it starts running this way. You assess down the line, you hit this word father, you say, well, that's null. It's been null. Every time I've assessed it, it's null. And it goes blurring. And you switch over onto the OW, and here we go. Well, I forged a check on the old man's bank account for its entirety. I didn't tell him it was I who smashed up his new car. Higher level of responsibility makes the overts more confrontable. And that is a rule which you will find consistent in running OW. Got the idea? So on other terminals, when you got those out of the road, and because you're running failed help in a sandwich here, you've continued to raise the individual's responsibility. And all of a sudden, he decides that he has been irresponsible for his papa. And of course, he gets a brand new concept of what's an OW against bother. Got it? That's why you don't scratch the name off the list. Got it? Why you continue to assess the whole list, whether from the top down, the bottom up, the middle down, doesn't matter. You just continue to assess. Now you say, well, this is endless. This would be endless, absolutely endless. There wouldn't be any end to this whatsoever. That's not true. The kick comes off of the present time environment rather rapidly, and you are not only running all the PT problems the fellow didn't know he had, you're also now preventing him from having a bunch of PT problems that are going to louse up and stall the session. Got it? And you're getting some failed help run too, which is wonderful, and the failed help is kicking the bank more alive and is kicking PT more into action, and everything is going along just swimmingly. And that is Formula 13. Now, when after a while the bank doesn't go to pieces every time you start doing Formula 13, you understand it doesn't have to be flat as a flounder. You go on and locate the havingness process. Now, basically, that is part of the formula, but possibly, if you're a purist, should have its own number. And possibly someday will. But you locate the havingness process from the list of preferred processes. And you keep running down this list and locating the havingness process. And every time you test one, you run some more failed help. If you test one and fail, you run some failed help. You got it? Savvy? You test for the havingness process? 5 to 12 commands maximum is a test. Didn't work. You're going to bridge over and you're going to run some who, what, failed help. Just like that. And then you're going to take the next havingness process in the order of frequency of processes, and you're very lucky. We've got a frequency table. The processes that run on the most PCs are earliest on this list. I don't see it here, by the way, this list. Should be here. You should have it. When you've got the thing taped, why, you come off of that. You don't do that anymore when you find the havingness process. Now, how do you test for a havingness process? A havingness process is registered upon the needle. It loosens the needle. In 5 to 12 commands, it should loosen the needle. And thereafter, as you run this case, in from 5 to 12 commands, it should loosen the needle. But it won't if you run it 562 commands, because it now becomes an ARC break and starts tightening. So you can overrun a havingness process and upset the case. The other reason for that is you upset the bank. You start trying to run the bank with a havingness process, and bank starts running with the havingness process. And, of course, it gets sticky and loose and sticky and loose, and you're trying to run the whole case with a havingness process, and that isn't what a havingness process is for. The havingness process is stabilize the PC and PT to give him a departure point. Only when a PC has a departure point called present time can he orient himself in the bank. If all points are inconstant and afloat in the bank, he has no point of reference and has no PT, and therefore no gain he makes is stable. The stability of a case occurs when the havingness process is located. Now the case becomes stable, and all gains will become stable gains, and you'll stop this business of the individual getting a gain and then falling into a hole, and getting a gain and falling into a hole. Because what makes him fall into a hole is his havingness isn't stable and he doesn't know where he is, okay? So a havingness process is simply there to give him an orientation point. You'll find, as you run up into the regimens and so forth, running this havingness process, you will find that the thing begins to run just constant. He always has havingness. It gets better and better and better. If run briefly, briefly and frequently, that's the rule for havingness. The test of havingness process, I got real clever on this one, because some people don't recognize, after a few commands, what the havingness process is doing, because they expect the needle to really loosen up and the tone arm to shift and a lot of other things happening. And earlier, there was some literature that told you to watch the tone arm, but I found out it wasn't necessary to do so. We can run havingness until we get a big drop on the tone arm and so forth, but we're not going to worry about that anymore, because the way we're really making gains is the havingness process works. It loosens the needle, and that's all you're interested in, and the test is a very simple one. You ask the PC, before you ask, run the first command of the havingness process, after you have introduced it and so forth, and you've got it all set to run, you ask the PC to squeeze the cans, and you notice how far the needle drops. Now, you do not touch the sensitivity knob thereafter. Now, you run it 5 to 12 commands and ask him to squeeze the cans. And if the needle drops further than it did the first squeeze, you have the havingness process. If it drops less, get off of it right now. Don't even bridge off of it. Say that is the last command of that process. Got it? Why run two more when you're sticking him on the track? Get off of it. Squeeze the cans. And squeeze the cans. If there's a difference between those two periods of squeeze, which shows that the needle drops further on the second squeeze, your havingness process is working. However, don't take the first glimpse of this that you have succeeded. Now, watch it now. This test always tells you when you have failed to find the havingness process. But it does not always tell you when you have found the havingness process. You got it? Before you really decide and run up signal flags and fire 16-gun salutes at the instructor on the subject of having found the PC's havingness process, you had better run it a few more commands and find out if it further loosens the needle. And that it didn't doesn't necessarily mean that you haven't found it. So you'd better run a little more failed help and then check it again. Got it? And what do you know? It did it again. Wonderful. Well, now you undoubtedly have the havingness process for the PC, okay? In other words, you double check it before you start shouting hurrah. Because this is going to be very important. This havingness process is going to be with the PC for a long time. Now, there's one of these havingness processes which shifts in wording. It's the one about the emotion in the wall. After you've taken the emotion out of the wall, it's so far from a havingness action that it becomes what is the condition of that wall, rather than what emotion does that wall have. You got the idea? It's what is the condition of that wall. That you don't have on any of your papers, so I'll add it in just in passing as we speak of this havingness process. All right, now we gorgeously have succeeded in getting a havingness process. This is a big forward gain. This is why cases weren't stable in the past and is a terribly important moment in the case. So don't treat it lightly. because this case will now make stable gains. Got it? All right. Now, former theory and practice said that we simply sailed in now and found the confront process, and maybe that would be all right, too. But we have found the having this process, and this brings all the machinery to a halt anyhow. And I think right now, actually this should be called another formula number, that we go into this next action. Check out the PC's control. Let's make sure he hasn't got an inverted control now. Check out his control. How do you do that? Well, you could do it in numerous ways. You could get up and parade around the room and do a lot of stomping and so forth. But actually, if you'll take a small object without him holding the E-meter, or having put an E-meter electrodes in one hand, if you just took a small object and had him move it around on his knees at your orders, start, change, and stop, you will tell rapidly whether or not this PC is having lots of trouble with control. If he's having trouble with that small object moving around, get a clipboard and have him do it on his knees, or a table or something of the sort, have him do this small object, start, change, and stop. And then, if he had trouble with that, you've got that a little bit flat, you'd better start marching that body on good old SCS. And straight SCS will work, three-command SCS, just as it appears in the old-time bulletins and texts and so forth. But if the PC never does flatten start, well, you better do something more about it, and that is to say, we haven't stabilized that command yet, so I won't bother to put it on this tape. You better make sure that he can make the body stand still before you tell him to start the body. Also, when he's starting the body, don't give him a shove with your hand, because he obviously didn't start the body if you started it. Okay? Now, if you've got to run control on this PC, you had better run it against havingness. In other words, you run him for a while. I say a while, and I do just mean a while. He starts to look a little bit like his havingness is dropping. Why, you say, fine, bridge out of your SCS, and sit him down and put him back on the E-meter and run a few commands of havingness to a looser needle. Got it? Then bridge out of that and get him up and make him do some more marching. Okay? It's a formula-type action. You're running the havingness you have found against the control process. This is unimportant in most cases. But you can't move into the regimens as unpositive as they can be made by the PC with a PC who is out of the auditor's control. Now, these lower processes you were doing were so fascinating, he couldn't help but answer the auditing command, no matter how he was trying to alter, is it? But this isn't necessarily true. When you move up into the regimens. And if you move up into the regimens with a PC who is thoroughly out of control, you might be in trouble. So let's just prevent ourselves from getting in trouble by taking a check of the PC's control. He did the small object SCS, the standard SCS on a small object. Tell him to start it, and he starts it, and you tell him to change the position of it, and he changes the position of it. Just the regular commands that are used for this. Tell him to, when you get the object moving, when you tell him to stop it, why... stop it, and so forth. He can do this, all right. Well, skip it. Some PC does something funny with a small object, and it seems to be pretty peculiar. You're heading for trouble, and you're heading for a lose in the regimens if you don't, right now, do control against havingness. Okay? That's the next action. All right. Now, the next action, which occurs after that, is the location of the confront process. And every time you test the confront process, which is given on the long list of precessions 2 to 36, every time you test the confront process, you run some havingness. You found that, you see, and then you test the next one, and you run some havingness. And you test for the next one, and you run some havingness until you finally find the confront process. Now, what is a confront process? What is a confront process for the PC? It is that confront process which makes the tone arm move adequately. Now, what is an adequate move on a toner? Well, early in running the confront process, it may only move in a few minutes of run, it may only move a tone. Something like that on your first test. If something makes it run a tone and makes it drop back down the tone again, in other words, makes it gain a tone and drop a tone, you certainly have the confront process. You may have to settle for one that makes it do less than this on some pieces. But I'd consider that pretty good. Okay? That's enough for you to know on it. All right, now we've got the having this process, we've got the confront process for the PC. You're going to run that for a couple of hours or something like that. You're going to run one and then you're going to run the other one. He's got them both now. And we're not going to try to run the whole case with these two processes, but we're certainly going to get him used to those two processes being run one against the other. He's going to feel much better all the way along the line. As a matter of fact, everything I'm giving you here are very powerful, effective processes, providing they're run in model session form. And here he goes. He's run it an hour or two, gotten used to it. They're both working. They're both doing fine. Everything's dandy. You might run into some trouble. He's still having a rough time in life with a present time problem, you know, and that sort of thing. You'd handle that just as you used to earlier here, just as I've been telling you. You keep his ARC brakes off the line. You'll find all these things in running your model session. You handle them accordingly. How do you handle an ARC brake? Well, there's 2,762 ways of handling ARC brakes, but OW on the auditor is the best way of handling an ARC brake as far as saving time is concerned. But you guys very often are found to be accused of being accusative. He says, if you just clip that E-meter switch just one more time while I'm thinking, I'm going to go up through the top of my head. And you say, all right, what have you done to me? So, for the purpose of ARC brakes and so on, it very often causes less ARC brakes to run, what have I done to you, what have you done to me? Okay? Till the guy gets so he tolerates the auditor. Then you can run OW every time he's got an ARC brake. You got it? What have you done to me? What have I done to you? I think that's old 5N, isn't it? It was always effective, and it's worked for years, so there's no reason why it shouldn't keep on working. Now, to do an assessment, you've got a bulletin here on an assessment, and to run an assessment, dynamic assessment on help, you've got a bulletin, HCOB, May 30th, which describes me running one reported by somebody else, and a very good one. I'm not going to bother at this particular moment to go into how you do an assessment. There's too much literature on this. There's tremendous quantities of literature on this. But you assess for a terminal wherever it may be found on the dynamics. This is the most successful way of doing this. And then you are going to run help on that using the having this process and the confront process. Now, when the assessment is finished, you're now ready to go in to the regimen. And that is your long haul. And that goes on and on and on, with most of your time being devoted to the help process. Tremendously so, the bulk of the session is devoted to the help process. You can clip in and run some having this occasionally. You certainly have got to run every session some of the confront. You got the idea. But you're going to put the most time in on that. We'll go into that a little bit more later. Now, let's take up this. This is standard clearing. This is standard. This has gotten more and more grooved, more and more refined. It's more and more workable. It's working further and further. And it couldn't be called very standard clearing, what I have been talking to you about in the last 52 minutes. But you find this doesn't undercut all the cases. So you do this standard operation in any event. There is no variation in the standard operation just because you undercut a case. Do you hear me? You've got to run Formula 13. And you've got to go on up the line for the having this process and the confront process and the assessment and the regimen and so forth. All that, just as I've talked to you about here, is all standard. But there are some undercuts for cases. You can tell whether or not a case will need an undercut by various means. You will get used to this with great speed. There's nothing much to undercutting the case. Sometimes a group will get to nattering. You know, thinking unkind thoughts, you know. A crew or something. Everybody's thinking unkind thoughts, one way or the other. They get more and more blowy and more spinny. They don't know quite which way they're going. More important to you, a PC, very often, who is sitting there apparently being a very good PC, will have been missed by you because he can't confront an overt. Can't do OW. But he can remember when he's thought unkind thoughts. Remember when I told you, when you're going over Formula 13, you get this little click on Father, and then, well, he thought Father was awfully tall one day, and this is an awful overt, you know? That's an unkind thought he's given you. See? Well, some cases are totally in this band. They're really there. And they sit there while you're auditing them, and you never find out about this unless you ask them, unless you know it. Unless you've got somebody like me around to look in. And they're sitting there, nattering all the time, some cases are, you know. There's just a long, droning circuit runs on all the time about the instructor, about Ron, about this, about that, about something else, and on and on and on. It's always an unkind thought, and so on and so on. It's a typical no-hattiness, low-level critical. Well, now, those cases can be run into very rapidly with this. How do you recognize such a case? Well, one of the tests is if he's been around this long and never gotten a gain, and yet he's been around even from 1955, and never gotten a gain, and he just must be nattering all the time about something or other, you know? And you're trying to run the overts off, and man, they're running in much faster than you can run them off. You got the idea? So you have to pay attention to this. You have to pay attention to this. And you have to cut in at a lower level of operation. And it's simply the unkind thought mechanisms. It's just a difference of command. It's the same precession. Now, there's even a lower level formula than this. And that is the guy who is consistently and continually never intending to help anyone. This is the bird that you ask him whom you failed to help, and he says eventually, well, he really never intended to help anybody. How could he possibly fail to help anybody? It's quite interesting that every PC has large areas on the track, tremendous areas on the track, well, like during all of the Roman period or something like that, when he went along, never intending to help anybody and never intending not to help anybody. And boy, are those locked up on the track. They're very solid areas. Got it? And you may get a PC who's in one of those areas. That is to say, that right now is one of those areas. He never intended to help anybody, and he accidentally helped somebody, and that was a mistake. That's Formula 16. And you run the failed help with those two commands, and so on. It's the same terminals, same terminal assessment, and so forth. But when you cut them that low, you run unkind thought for the OW. Just one command. What unkind thought have you had about the terminal that fell on the assessment? You get that variation on Formula 13? Well, frankly, that's as far south as they go. Sometimes you go out of the humanoid band entirely, and you get down into the psychiatric band, and so on, and you have to run a two-way failed help. You know, they can't stay with the overt side of it. They're justifying, 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 so just to calm it down, you get the justifications off. And it just doesn't matter on help, by the way, oddly enough, if you run it two-way or six-way, you know. You can run it any old way. It still works with the PC still at cause. So we have found this necessary in a few cases. And it's still unkind thought. Now, if somebody tells you that an unkind thought is too high for him, you for sure have a whom have you intended not to help case. Got the idea? I mean, when a guy gets into that condition, why? Where an unkind thought is too high for him. Well, oddly enough, he may be able to turn around and run straight OW, kind of dubbing it in or something of the sort. I have found that condition to exist in a case. He was terribly mixed up. And he could run intended not to help. Actually, he ran failed help piteously. Absolutely piteously. He whimpered all the time he was running it. Failed help. Well, he failed to help Joe, but, well, really not, because Joe, Well, Joe didn't make it very easy to be helped him, you know. And when he did help Joe, it almost broke him, you see. It almost broke the PC when he failed to help Joe and so on. It was mostly Joe's fault. Joe made pretty sure that he wasn't going to be helped. Now, this kind of idiocy, you know, it's a justified failed help, you know, that sort of thing. Well, all I'm asking you is watch the OW when you hear this. You know, unkind thought may be too high. And it may be on some inversion where OW, basic OW, works. He'll get up to a point where he realizes that a real overt is an overt. And he'll come up through the unkind thought band, but you're just going to have to play it by ear and steer yourself up through this because you're really auditing a mass of mush. But the one which you're going to get in the teeth is Formula 15, and that is where you start, and that is how you start, and what you do is make an assessment of Scientology terminals. Just run exactly like Formula 13. Scientology terminals. And Dianetic Scientology, Central Organization, RON, so forth. Make up this list and run this against failed help. Who, what, failed help. And you assess this list first. And you may find a case that you have to run unkind thought on and then eventually go over the whole thing again and run OW. You catch? And that's where you're going to start. Now, there's no particular reason to super-describe all this to you all over again because I told you all about it when I was discussing Formula 13, except the PT terminals are narrowed to the individuals, organizations, and groups and identities contained in Dianetics and Scientology. Got it? It's going to crack at least one case here. Now, these, of course, are Very simple. Nothing much to it as far as the handling of it is concerned. Except as you add complexities to it and demand vast systems by which you can run and avoid the obvious. You've got to front up to this procedure. This is the procedure. You've got to front up to it and carry it along with a dull crash. And there's no avoiding it. It's a head-on collision. So don't start worrying about it. I've already told you when you come off of pre-session 37, by the way. When you're really through with pre-session 37, of course, you've got the sensitivity knob at 16. And your questions do not cause the needle to swiggle. Okay? Or theta bop. Okay? This is clean. This is very clean, exactly how you do this. It appears to be complicated. It appears to be something that you might have difficulty steering through. That's just a matter of small memory. Exactly how you apply the thing is very, very exact, very, very precise. You graduate a PC on up through those stages, and man, does he arrive. Now, if you run that whole regimen and flatten everything with regimen 3 and so forth, and you don't know what to do, why, there's a bunch of new bulletins coming out, but I don't think you're ready for that by tomorrow morning. Okay? Thank you. Thank you.